one and all, near and far, to another great edition of Talking Ticks. I am Scott Gerard. Joining me as always is Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a good one for you this week, folks. Got game one in the books for the College World Series. Tigers up 1-0, something we haven't seen in a minute, but happy to go over that with you guys. We'll go over the other games too, but I think that's pretty much all we'll cover tonight. Hope you had a good Father's Day weekend. I know you're not dads, but with your respective dads, I did. I had a good day with Alana, had some nice gifts. So happy to break this one down with you folks.
Yeah, good to be with you. Good to be celebrating a Tiger win. Exciting. First time that a Jay Johnson team has won game one in Omaha. So excited about that. And hoping we can continue on the success tomorrow night. Or tonight, if you're listening. Well, Monday night, we'll say.
Yeah, congratulations to the Tigers on the hot start, just what we were hoping for, and happy Father's Day to the dads out there, including you, Scott. And yeah, we're rolling here in Omaha. The Tiger fans are there, including my own mother. She was at the game yesterday, sending some pictures. Looks like a rocking time, and I know she was chanting the LSU and Go Tigers there. So a fun environment for all, and hopefully that train can keep on rolling through the rest of the week.
Exactly. Continuing tomorrow, the next stop would be against UCLA in the winner's bracket at 7 p.m. Of course, Arkansas and Murray State going to play before that tomorrow, too. And yeah, then after tomorrow, we'll kind of know where we're at, whether we're waiting or if we're having to play from behind and just win out for the rest to make it to the finals. But, I mean, Tigers took game one, 4-1. Over Arkansas. It was kind of close. I'd say too close for comfort for the longest time. They came out of the gate great in the second inning. And then after that, it was pretty much just the Cade Anderson show. Well, Arkansas's pitchers too, Gekel, because he pretty much shut us down once he came in, except for, well, we did get one later on in the eighth, which was nice, but turns out we didn't need it. It was great to get the win. I kind of figured, we would, but I don't know. It just felt like a kind of ho-hum win compared to the other games anyway, but who cares, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was a bit of a, maybe you say, pedestrian win, but in a good way. Like you said, Cade Anderson dealt, really didn't get, he got touched on that one home run, but that was about it. We knocked out their starter, Zach Root, in one inning. Great performance, great performance from the offense right there. And then, but like you said, then Gekel comes in, he has a great performance for Arkansas, kind of becomes a pitcher's duel. Glad we went ahead and did damage when we could and took advantage of the struggles of Root early on. But overall, solid win. And I feel like a lot of people were saying that this is kind of like the mini national championship, where the winner of this team is kind of in the driver's seat. I mean, the winner of this game was kind of in the driver's seat. So glad to see that, that we got the W, and excited to, for game two.
Exactly. We were expecting that pitcher's duel between the two odds-on favorite teams going into the tournament between LSU and Arkansas, given that we had our ace Anderson and they had theirs in Root. And LSU immediately took advantage of Root's inconsistencies, scoring three runs in the second inning on, I think it was two walks, and then an infield bunt single by Daniel Dickinson, and then a left field single by Stanfield to score one. And then Michael Braswell got hit by a pitch in the ankle to bring in the second one. And then I think Josh Pearson chopped one home on kind of an infield single to finish that up. And that was all she wrote for Root, as Dave Van Horn came out of the dugout for Arkansas and yanked Gekel from the pen.
Everybody was really quick.
I know, everybody was kind of shocked. Like, even the commentators didn't really, and they're like, well, there he goes. I think it was only 30 something pitches, and you could see his frustration as he kind of stormed off the mound. It proved to be the right decision by Dave Van Horn, as Gekel was dealing and pretty much delivered on the pitching duel that we thought was going to happen, as it strung out zeros for the next six innings, basically. And that was kind of a stressful point in the game, because LSU was up 3-0 and we're feeling okay, but it was still kind of felt like it was hanging on a knife's edge a little bit. Like Arkansas could kind of break it open at any moment, even though Anderson was really having an awesome day, striking out seven, over 100 pitches. So, I mean, good performance overall. We got the runs when we needed to, and that added an insurance run, I believe in the eighth. So that was all she wrote, and really solid on the pitching end. Chase Shores and Cason Evans coming in the eighth and ninth, both tidying it up. I thought it was interesting bringing in Shores, given that he had been kind of hit or miss, but he was flame throwing, and then going to Evans in the ninth. So both of them should still be available going forward, and overall positive. Really about the only negative thing you could say was that once Gekel came in, the bats were pretty cold, including a 5-strikeout performance by Jared Jones, which is kind of crazy. We'll need to see a little bit of a tune up there, but it can't really be too disappointed as a Tiger fan.
No, you can't. And you know, it's a matter of time before he just knocks one into the stands or like out of the stadium or something. Cause you can actually see the bridge behind it, you know, like through the outfield. I imagine he'll probably put one in there eventually, but it is disappointing for that. It's like the guy started off so great, but then he's just kind of been streaky, right? Like just, well, mostly down, some ups here and there, but you just have to think he's going to break through. Now, luckily Arkansas didn't, and the three runs we held him to, or the three ones we had were plenty. We didn't necessarily need the insurance run. I don't know. I don't want to take UCLA for granted. So I think we really got to pick it back up. I imagine we'll see Ianson. I don't know. You could see the disgust on Root's face when he was leaving. Like, seriously, is this happening? Like, it's, I don't know. I was trying to think if LSU was in that spot, like if he would have pulled Cade Anderson, like if he had given up three runs. I don't think he had before, but, you know, Cade maybe still had control of the game, right? Like maybe if there was an error or just great base running or something, maybe you could see it. But, I mean, we've done that before. I know we did with Ianson. I still feel comfortable that we do have guys that can last 5 or 6 innings. I don't think that would happen to us. I guess anything can happen, right? It's baseball. Like, they didn't see Root going only 39 pitches or whatever it was. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a little bit premature. Like, I know you give up 3 runs, but it's the first inning. If I feel like if I'm managing that team, I don't pull him, but I don't pull my ace. You know, I give him another inning to try and turn it around. But I think that shows you how pivotal they felt like that game was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like how important it was.
Yeah, willing to lay it all out there and put in your best guys immediately. And I mean, that's what we did. Thankfully, Cade Anderson went 7 innings and we only had to use up an inning each from Shores and Evans. So in the game tomorrow, like you said, Scott, probably going to be Ianson, going to use him for as long as we can. And then both of those guys, I would assume, are probably still good to go for another inning or two. So that's definitely a deep arsenal that we have. And then some other guys like Zach Cowan and Cooper Williams who haven't thrown yet. So the quiver is full for LSU going into UCLA, who I believe they used 5 pitchers in their first game against Murray State. So, but they do have a good number 2 starter. So they'll attempt to do the same as LSU, and they're a solid team top to bottom. I watched a little bit of that UCLA Murray State game as well, but it was a close contest also, which we can get in the rest of the stuff going on. But I think LSU definitely will be favored, and with Ianson on the mound, you can feel pretty comfortable as long as the bats can put a little pop in the ball.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't even be upset if Jay Johnson tried to tinker the lineup again. I mean, I think at one point he had Jared Jones batting like, what was it, 5th or 6th? One of the super regionals, right, to mix it up. Oh. I'd say that's fine. Mix it up again. I know he did for a left-hander, and that's why we saw Curiel further down on the bottom with the lineup. Again, it looked great in the second inning, just kind of fizzled after that, but that's what happens when you bring in Gekel. I would imagine Dave Van Horn at that point, he was thinking, well, yeah, I could pull him. Maybe I should leave him in. But if we lose this game, that's an extra game that we're definitely going to have to play to make it back up. So if I pull him now, maybe I can use him in game 3, right? Or 4 or whatever. Because he only pitched, what, an inning and a 2/3 or something?
That's true.
I don't know. Yeah, we could be in that situation. That kind of makes sense. Maybe that's the the 3D chess move that he's got. Anyway, to round it out, the Coastal took their game one, beat Arizona, and then Oregon State beat Louisville. So that's who the winners and losers bracket is there. Oregon State's going to play Coastal. I think that could be a good game. And then Louisville already knocked out Arizona. So there goes, playing Jay Johnson's old team. Now, UCLA did take care of Murray State. So I don't know. Murray State could be a interesting matchup. I don't know. Hopefully the Racers didn't lose it all from their, the highest of the highs, winning the Super Regional and then playing in Omaha and losing game one. I mean, it's a lot to come back from. Plus, they're going to have to win three games, like an extra game themselves now. But if LSU wins tomorrow, we're sitting pretty. I think we even have some extra rest. So looking forward to that. I don't know. I hadn't done too much pre-scouting on UCLA, just what they were saying, because I was able to watch some of their game too. I saw an amazing stat with them. Coastal had a similar one too, but UCLA this season, when they score first, they're like 27-1.
Which is
crazy. Yeah. They had one for Coastal. It's like if they scored first, this was in the Super Regional. It was like 54-3 or something. So just crazy stats. Scary.
That is a crazy stat.
Yeah, I know. It's like I know LSU's lost a lot of leads, but I mean, we're still LSU, so not too worried about stats. And that's the one thing about them. They're always meant to be broken. Right. So we'll find out tomorrow night. Hopefully LSU can jump out to a good lead, though. I don't know. We assume it's going to be Einstein. Probably will be. But, yeah, hopefully he can give us a good seven or so innings and save some arms. I don't know. What would you guys think about the lineup itself? I mean, it was fine. I know he's always going to mix and match it at any point in time, right? It just depends. But I don't know.
I thought it was – the only thing that I thought was a little bit interesting, but it made sense because of them starting a lefty. But Josh Pearson starting in right field over Jake Brown. Mm-hmm. Shows the confidence that Jay has in Pearson.
Yeah, which could be reversed against UCLA because their number two starter, Landon Stump, who's 6-1 on the year, is a righty. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Jake Brown starting for Pearson in that second one. And then, on the lineup stuff, the only other thing was Michael Braswell batting in that kind of late position. I think he went over 3 with 3 strikeouts also, although he was solid in the field as he was the start of 2 kind of key double plays there in the middle, rolling him from third, second to first to bail Cade Anderson out of some difficult spots. So I wouldn't be surprised if he sticks in that lineup, even with the tough offensive performance, just because we don't really have a super great guy to plug in there. Tanner Reeves has got some at-bats before, but late in the postseason, you kind of ride with the known commodities for the most part.
And I'd say that's one thing that helped ensure LSU's victory is we didn't give them anything. Anderson didn't really walk anybody, and no bad fielding errors or missed double play opportunities. Like you said, man, they were flashing some leather. Had some really key double plays. Hopefully we see that moving forward, because there's definitely been some teams that have already had some errors, and it cost them. And I think at this point out, you just don't want to give anybody any free bases. I don't know.
And also, can we just give a shout out to Luis Fernandez, who's really come on strong towards this late side of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I'm seeing out of him. It's we get some production out of the catcher spot that we're not really used to. So excited about that.
Yep. The only other kind of scouting notes on UCLA, they have an All-American shortstop, Rock Chalowski, I believe is how you pronounce it, but he's kind of their leader with about a 500 on base percentage. So if we can keep him off the base paths and stop them from starting to roll it up, because I mean, that's how we scored our runs was playing small ball in the second inning. Omaha Stadium always plays big. You don't see a lot of home runs, which LSU's not the biggest masher team this year, so that's okay for us. But you got to really rely on those singles, walks, stolen bases even, which is not super in our forte, but manufacturing runs when we can, which is exactly what we did before. So UCLA kind of plays the same. So hopefully we can kind of beat them at their own game. They're also on a 6-game winning streak. They haven't lost in the postseason yet, so that could be tough, and they've been hot. Also, this is a little bit tidbit, but the last time UCLA was in the World Series was 2013, and they won it all that year, beating LSU in the very first game. LSU was the number 4 overall seed, and they played us. That was Rafe Rimes and some other guys on that team. That was actually Paul Maneri's best ever regular season team. I was looking this up, and then we went into Omaha, and we went 0-2. First game loss to UCLA, second game loss to North Carolina. So hopefully we can reverse a little bit of history there, but should be good either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I like where we're at sitting with Einson, to be honest. I think we're going to be good.
Mm-hmm. And as far as playing the small ball, I feel like that Dickinson bunt, I know he can, but I feel like we caught him off guard with that. And that kind of helped open the door.
Yeah. He's a great bunter. I've seen multiple very, very well-placed bunts from him throughout this season.
Yeah, and he can hit for power too. So that's a kind of a rare skill set where you can put the ball over the fence, but at times just square around and baffle your opponent and lay one right down the third baseline, which is what he did. So definitely a tool there. And Jay Johnson knows how to push the buttons to make it work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I think that was all I had. Did you guys have anything else from, I know LSU, one other mention. I think we forgot to mention this before, but one LSU baseball team has actually already won. No, we did talk about this, right? The LSU, was it Shreveport?
NAIA? Oh, yes.
That went undefeated.
Yeah. National champions, like 59-0.
59-0. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So, I don't know. I know the portal's open. Jay's kind of busy right now, but I'm sure there's probably something there. It's interesting because I was thinking, over the regionals and the super regionals and now the World Series. Anything's possible, right? It's like there's guys that as soon as after they lost their regional or super regional, they're in the portal. I think there was even a guy with LSU who's in the portal, but he went with him to Omaha. He's just not playing. So I don't know. I guess he's here for emotional support or something. I don't know.
Probably don't get too much flying time. You've already declared your allegiance elsewhere.
Right. He's just carrying bags, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, one other win I did want to mention, or not win, but LSU is comfortably in the lead with the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge. Last I saw, I think we were up to 9,400. Everyone else was way behind. I think Murray State was second, Arkansas third, and after that it was just kind of laughable, but it's a thing now. It's like a world-renowned thing.
Yeah.
So if we go, we're going to Rocco's.
Yeah. LSU fans traveling strong. Yeah, like I mentioned, my mom's there. She's actually staying at the hotel, same hotel as LSU there in Omaha. And so she got some pics of the team and said hi to Jay Johnson this morning at breakfast. She said he was appreciative and was in good spirits, as they should be. So hopefully that continues on and they get some good rest.
Yeah, yep. That's cool.
And just something to monitor, like you mentioned, Scott, Coastal Carolina's 50-something-0 when they lead first in the inning. First in the game, they are up 3-0 against Oregon State in the top of the second.
Oh boy, they're on a 24-game win streak. Would be 25 if they win right now. So Chanticleer's very high.
Yeah, those dudes, they're good. They're not scared at all. You can see that at Auburn, right? And they have just not let up. That's why they're on a 23-game, 24-game win streak themselves. Mm-hmm. That's just crazy. It's as good as we feel. I don't know, that's going to be two buzzsaws running into each other if both of those teams make the finals. I know you can't call Coastal a Cinderella, but if Coastal and Murray State had both made it, I think that's the game America wants. Maybe not Tiger fans, but that's the game America wanted for good reason. I get it, but I just don't see that happening.
Nope. But last on the logistical things, LSU plays tomorrow night, Monday, 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern against UCLA. And then if they win, then they get the day off and play again Wednesday evening for a chance to go to the finals already and lock it up. That'd be pretty sweet to win those two back-to-back and be in the finals and not have to face that elimination game. If they do lose tomorrow, then they drop down and will face the winner of Arkansas-Murray State on Tuesday night. So that would be the start of the gauntlet, playing back-to-back every single day. So let's hopefully get it done against UCLA and get the rest and keep on rolling.
Right. Amen. Well, I don't know. Unless you guys had something else, that's pretty much all I had.
I think that's good.
I guess that'll. What's that?
I said short and sweet.
Short and sweet, exactly. So that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Takes. Tune in next time. Maybe we'll have another little short recap after the first round is over to see if the Tigers are going to play in the finals next weekend or not. That would be a best out of three. So it would start on Saturday, then a game Sunday, and then Monday if necessary. I don't know. Maybe we'll try and get something in before then. But otherwise, we will have it all for you next time right here on Talking Tig. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.